Well, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 1 and verse 6. We look this morning at great news for grim times, that the Bible in miniature is simply this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the good news. That's the pulsating heartbeat of Christianity. It's the pulsating heartbeat of every Christian. Christ Jesus came into the world, why? To do what? To save sinners. And the need is for us to accept that truth, that we are sinful and that there is only one way to be saved. That is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening we've got great news for those who have accepted this truth. Great news for those who have accepted the truth. Because if you look at verse 6, Paul says this to the church at Philippi. Now, in Stan's first reading this evening, it was Acts of the Apostles. And this man, Paul, who's writing this letter, was then journeying into Europe in his second missionary journey. And it's there that we read of the conversion of Lydia and the conversion of the jailer. They became Christians. And now this letter is written to that church. It's written some 10 years later. And Paul, in verse 6, expresses his confidence. There's something that he's absolutely sure of, he's convinced of, and he says this in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And what Paul means by that is that he looks back 10 years to when he entered into Philippi on his second missionary journey and he preached the gospel. And various people were converted. They were the first converts in the continent of Europe. And if we had all three of them up here this evening, if we had the slave girl, if we had the Philippian jailer, if we had Lydia, they'd tell us different stories, and yet there'd be something the same about all of them. And Paul says, I'm confident of this, that when I look back, it was God who began a good work in you. That's what he's certain of. That's what he's sure of. As we heard in the reading from Acts, Lydia's heart was opened by God to heed, to listen, to respond to the message that Paul preached. Paul doesn't look back and say, well, I'm confident that you responded to me. No, no, no. He says, when you were converted, what really happened was God began a good work in you. And I'm confident that God, having begun that good work in you, he's going to finish it. So here's his confidence expressed in this letter, chapter 1, verse 6, 10 years after the first converts at Philippi. And that's why we read Acts chapter 16 this evening, verses 9 to 40. There the Apostle Paul was on his second missionary journey preaching the good news of Jesus. And if you listen carefully to that reading, it particularly concerned three people. A certain woman called Lydia, who used to sell purple cloth. Then a certain slave girl who was possessed by a spirit, and then thirdly the Philippian jailer. And there's no doubt at all that Lydia was converted, number one, and number three, the Philippian jailer was converted. And I was put it to you this evening that a certain slave girl who was possessed by a spirit but was then set free was probably converted too. Which is why I think Luke puts the three of them together when he records what took place in Philippi. A woman was converted, a slave was converted, a Gentile was converted. I think that's really the Apostle Luke's message there in Acts. But bear that in mind. Paul has visited this place 10 years ago and he's seen people become Christians. We might say converted. Here he is 10 years later. He's imprisoned. He's not writing this from a nice desk or from a deck chair on the beach. He's chained to a soldier. And he writes to these people, the church back at Philippi, and it's a letter of joy. And before we look at the heart of it, I want you just to notice that it begins with thanksgiving. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. He's thinking back 10 years again. From the first day until now. And what we need to just be clear in our own minds there is that his relationship with them is because of the gospel. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what he's really thankful for is their fellowship, or we could use the word their partnership, in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's a long way away from them now, and it's 10 years in time, but there's still something that binds them together, and it will always bind them together, and the thing that binds them together is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the greatest bond this world can ever know. Paul's favourite description of himself is that he is in Christ. That's his favourite description of somebody who's been converted. He doesn't use the term Christian. He says they are in Christ. When he writes to the church at Corinth, he reminds the Corinthian Christians they've been called into fellowship with Christ. When John writes to believers, he says we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. This great bond that he has with the people he's writing to is because they've all been converted. They're all trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That common bond isn't a vague general religious belief, well, we're all religious. No, it's much more than that. It's not merely a bond of religious practice. These people have all come to faith in the Lord Jesus. They're all now found in him through faith. They are what we would call Christians. And it's on the back of that that Paul expresses his confidence about them, and indeed in a sense about himself. You see, when we are converted, we might give a certain testimony of how it is that we've come to faith in the Lord Jesus. You might say we heard it here or we heard it there and we thought about it, but it began to make sense to us and suddenly, yes, we became a Christian. And Paul wouldn't take away from that. But what he wants them to understand is what it is that's really happened to them. And so he reminds them here. And if you're a Christian here this evening, whether you've been a Christian for 60 years or for 6 weeks, your testimony will be individual to you, how it is that you've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that will be different from other people. There'll be a similarity, even a sameness. And it's that sameness which gives Paul the great confidence here. In his second letter to Timothy, he wrote on one occasion, I know who I'm believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, spoken of here in verse 6. Paul was confident. He was absolutely confident that what he'd entrusted to God, God would be able to keep until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's this work of God that I particularly want us to look at here this evening. When Peter writes to believers, he talks about the fact that they're going to come into a great inheritance. And he says that inheritance is reserved for you, but you are kept for it. You as believers, you are kept by the power of God. If you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been converted, if you are a Christian here this evening, then it's great news. Because Paul would say of you that he's confident that God, having begun a good work in you, will see it through to completion. And that's the confidence I want to look at here this evening. And I want to encourage you to look at your own circumstances with the eye of faith. That you'll be confident too. You see, Paul says, I'm confident. That means he's utterly persuaded. He's absolutely sure. He's absolutely convinced of something. He's convinced of two things: that God began a good work in these people, and therefore God will see it through to completion. It's very important that we understand his grounds. He's not saying, I'm confident of you because you listen better than anybody else whenever I preach the gospel. He didn't say, I'm confident in you because, you know, you're the kind of people we always thought, you know, once they'll say, they'll be brilliant Christians. It's nothing to do with them whatsoever at all. His confidence lies in God. So let's go back to the beginning. He says here, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you. Now, if Paul was here tonight speaking about how he became a Christian, he'd speak about how he was on the road to Damascus, breathing out murderous threats against Christians, wanting to see them put to death. And the living Lord Jesus Christ met with him and spoke to him by name, convinced him of his own sin, and gave him faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If Lydia was here tonight, she'd say, well, one day I was going down to this prayer meeting down by the river, and this man Paul came along and he preached the good news of Jesus. And I came to believe that it was true, and so I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And the jailer might say, well, I had these two guys in my prison, and there was an earthquake one night, and I was about to go and kill myself, and then they spoke to me. And I realised that the good news of Christianity was true, and so I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ too. And all of those testimonies will be absolutely true to those people, as our testimonies here this evening will be true to each and every one of us. But what Paul is making clear to us here is that there's another dimension to what happened to us. It wasn't just that we heard a message and thought about it and, yeah, it began to make sense to us and then we put our trust in Jesus. He says, that was true, but there's another dimension here which is greater. It was God who began a good work in you. The reason why you came to hear of the good news, the reason why you came to believe the good news, was because God was at work in you. And you might not have perceived that at the time. You thought it was all about you. But what Paul is saying here, no, it's all about God. The start that you had was a start that God gave to you. Now that's important, because it had to have a start, because not any single person is born as a Christian. We all enter life, as we heard this morning, as sinners, rebels. That means we're hostile to God in our minds. It means, spiritually speaking, that we are dead. And no spiritual corpse ever woke themselves up and made themselves a Christian. The Bible makes it crystal clear that the work which brought us to become a Christian and to be converted was a work that was down to God. He began that work in you. And maybe that's a dimension you need to really think about afresh here this evening. You rightly would say, well, I came to faith in so and so. I turned from my sin and believed in the Lord Jesus. But have you seen how the scripture, how God describes that? It's a work, a good work, which he began in you. You see, there was background to it. Before you were interested, before you heard, before you believed, there was a work of God going on in the background. You see, we began our reading tonight in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. The work there in relation to Lydia, the woman who sold purple, and the slave girl, and the jailer. But it goes back before then, because the reading began at verse 9, where Paul is called over to preach there. And he was called to preach there because God was going to begin a good work in these people. So there was background to it. And in fact, once we read and understand our Bibles, we see that this work went on before Paul's conversion, before his birth, before their conversions, before their birth. Because the Bible says of a Christian that God has loved them with an everlasting love. That's an everlasting love. That's a love which never had a beginning, but always was. The Bible tells us that Christians were chosen in Christ from before the foundations of the world. So we can say, well, I became a Christian at this time and in this way and in this month, but we then realise that actually it began before time began in eternity. And God so loved us there that he then sent his son into the world 2,000 years ago. Jesus came, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He lived that perfect life, having been born in Bethlehem. And then he went to the cross to pay the price of his people's sins. He rose from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven, and poured out the Holy Spirit. There was background. This took place before any of us here this evening were born, but it's background to the work that God did in us. Because in the Acts reading, we found there that the death on the cross of Jesus for sin was then applied to the lives of Lydia and the slave girl and the jailer there in Philippi. They contributed nothing. They didn't know they'd been loved with an everlasting love. Some of them didn't know until this point that the Lord Jesus Christ had come into the world and died. But then the fact that he had died on the cross as a sacrifice for their sins was applied to them and it became real. Lydia met for prayer by the riverside. She came into gospel conversation with the Apostle Paul. He preached to her. Her heart was opened. And she came to faith. Who opened her heart? Well, it wasn't Lydia. The Bible says it was the Lord who opened her heart. The slave girl was following Paul and his companion Silas. She was possessed by a spirit of divination. She was enslaved. She kept telling people who these people were. And she annoyed Paul. And so Paul sets her free from this spirit. And then Paul annoys her owners because she's been able to tell people their fortunes and make a fortune for her owners. So the owners take Paul and Silas to prison. That's where he meets the jailer. And the jailer throws them into prison. And then after the earthquake, he brings them out. And he comes to the point, we read, where he believes. But the Bible says all of that is a good work which God began. And I simply want to encourage you this evening to see the enormous, life-transforming truth that when you became a Christian, when you were converted, the reason that the Bible says you were converted is because there and then God began a good work in you. Almighty God, the Eternal One, who himself has no beginning, who created the heavens, the earth, all of the stars, who's sovereign over every drop of rain, every ray of sunshine, this great God began a work in you. It means that at that time you received what we call an effectual call. We sometimes sing of it in our hymns. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. And that's how God and the cross of Jesus became real to us. God spoke to us and called us by name, and we heard. His call wasn't just the call which goes out to the whole congregation. It came to us, and it was effective. It summons us out of a state of spiritual death into spiritual life. There and then we were called into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself conveyed us out of the kingdom of darkness into which we've been born and into the kingdom of light. And that was all God's supernatural, wondrous dealing. We answered the call. It wasn't God who answered the call. But the reason we answered the call was because the call came to us with a power in it to cause us to respond and to believe upon the Lord Jesus. It was a supernatural work that was done in our lives. Elsewhere, it's termed being born again. It's regeneration. We are awakened out of spiritual death to spiritual life. Jesus himself said, you must be born again. The reason why we came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we say, I was converted then, is because God entered our souls by his Spirit and made us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts it this way. The God who commanded light to shine in our darkness has shone in our hearts. That's what's happened. God, Almighty God, shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And so we were born again. The reason why we were converted was because God began a good work in us that awakened us from spiritual death to spiritual life, convinced us of the truth of our sins, and that the Lord Jesus Christ had truly died as a sacrifice for our sins. And so we came to faith. And faith comes, we're told, from hearing. But we're not to boast in our faith, because even that's a gift from God. It was nothing less than God beginning a good work in you, waking you up from spiritual death, applying to you the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. That there he died for your sins, and in return he credits you with his perfect righteousness. That's why we came to gain an interest in the Saviour's blood. So we're not wrong to say, I came to faith, or I believed, or I turned from my sin. Not wrong at all, but we need to see the bigger picture, which is nothing less than the God of heaven and earth began an individual, personal work in each one who's born again. And it's because of that that Paul then has the confidence to say, that was only the beginning. There's going to be an end. And Paul says there's going to be an end, because the reality is that it was God who began the good work, and as it was a good work begun by God, he's going to see it through to the end. So you will get to heaven, you will see the Lord Jesus Christ as he really is, and you will be like him. Having started that work in you, God will finish it. Now, I don't know about your life, but my life is littered with incomplete projects and unfulfilled pledges. Things that I began to do and then I didn't finish because, well, I didn't have the time, or I didn't have the energy, or I didn't have the enthusiasm, or I didn't have the resources, or I didn't have the staying power, or I didn't have the ability. Littered all the way around my life, as I'm sure yours. Things we began and we never got round to finishing. It isn't like that with God. There is no insufficiency of power in God to finish what he has begun. God will never say to any one of his people, well, I began the work, but I'm sorry, I didn't have time. You know, I was so busy with all the others, I didn't have time for you. God will never say that. God will never say, well, I began the work, but I just ran out of energy. Or, well, I ran out of enthusiasm. Or I ran out of resources or staying power. God will never, ever, ever say that to any one of his people. He who has begun a good work in you will see it through to completion. He will present you with great joy, faultless before the throne. And the guarantee is because it's his work. It's his good work, and he's begun it, and he'll see it all the way through. He's going to make you like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to conform you to the image of his Son. Do you really think here this evening that he's going to make an exception of you? What is it about you that makes you think that you're going to be the exception? There are no exceptions. Together we will be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ as a radiant church. On the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, on the day of judgment when he comes, every believer will be presented perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all by God's kindness. It's all of his work. Let me try and convince you another way. What is it that he's given you? What he's given you? Eternal life. There's a clue there in the title, isn't there? Eternal life. He hasn't given you start-stop life. He's begun the work and he will see it through. great verse to have underlined in our Bible, if we underline our Bibles from an early age as a Christian, is John chapter 10, where Jesus is seen as the Good Shepherd. And he says these words in verse 28 and 29. He's speaking about his sheep. And Jesus says, I give them eternal life. Not stop-start life. Not intermittent life. No, I give them eternal life. Then listen, he says, and they shall never perish. God, having begun a good work in you, guarantees that you will never perish. Jesus goes on to say, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He is the good shepherd. He's got the sheep in his hand. And nothing in all eternity is going to snatch that sheep out of his hand. It's a double lock, because he then goes on to say in verse 29, my Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. God, having begun a good work in Lydia, in a slave girl in the jailer, was going to make sure that they never perished. That nothing ever was able to separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus. They were never going to be snatched out of his hand. He guaranteed that. As we read in Romans chapter 8, nothing in the whole of eternity will ever come to separate the Lord's people from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, you've got a great inheritance which is reserved for you in heaven, but you are kept for that inheritance too, as Peter says in chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, because you are kept by the power of God. He has called you into fellowship with his Son, and he is faithful. Nowhere does Paul express his confidence in this because of what the people are like. He expresses it because he knows that God has begun a good work in them that God will see through to completion. There's a fantastic beginning, which is God's good work. There's an end, which is God's good work, the continuation of the work that he began. And lastly, that just reminds us that there's a middle. And for all of us, that middle, if we're Christians here tonight, includes this evening. And we can be confident, can't we, of certain things about the middle too. Because he who began the good work will see it through to completion. Which means that despite our faithlessness, nobody here tonight is going to put their hand up and say, I'm a Christian and you know I've been faithful all the years of my life. Oh no, they're not going to say that. Because they won't have been. But despite our faithlessness, the work goes on. Why? Well, because it's his work. And he's promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. And he never has. And he's promised that the bruised reed he won't break. And he never has. And he's promised that the smouldering ember he will never snuff out. And he never has. Your testimony tonight as a believer, as one who's been converted, may well be that through many toils and dangers you have already come. But he's carried you. He's carried you thus far, and he'll carry you home. If you're a believer here tonight, we can give you that golden assurance on the truth of what God has said, that he hasn't led you this far to lose interest in you tomorrow. That would make him out to be unfaithful. And he's not. In that lovely hymn, is it William Cowper? 744, sorry, John Newton. Great words, aren't they? Have to talk to ourselves sometimes. Begone, unbelief, my Saviour is near. Sometimes we have to talk to ourselves in unbelief, don't we? Begone, unbelief. My Saviour is near. And then verses 3 and 4. His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. Determined to save, he watched over my path when Satan's blind slave I sported with death. And can he have taught me to trust in his name and thus far have brought me to put me then to shame? And the answer, my friends, is no, never. your problems, your anxieties, your difficulties, your temptations, your sins, though very real, will never alter God's purpose. If you're a Christian here tonight, it's because God has begun a good work in you, a noble work, a work to save you, to have you as one of those who's going to be His. His plan is to have for Himself a holy people conformed to the likeness of Jesus. He's chosen you to be blameless and holy in love. And He doesn't leave things unfinished. He doesn't give up on His own, ever, not once. So if you're overwhelmed tonight by guilt or a sense of failure and fear, He's the potter. You're the clay. He will fulfill His purpose. Don't be in any doubt. This gives you no grounds for disobedience. Doesn't give you any grounds to be casually indifferent about the things of God. And, well, however I behave, He'll carry on the work anyway. If He's truly at work in you, you won't have that attitude. The Scripture never gives us that option. There are evidences that God has begun a good work in us. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. We love one another. We obey His word. Practicing lawlessness, being unfaithful, is bound to undermine our confidence. But it doesn't undermine the purposes of God. Scripture teaches that salvation is entirely the work of the supernatural being who is God. And the God who is able to save you is also the God who is able to keep you. He knows those who are His own. He knows that there's many a wandering believer who's known the hand of his Father's chastisement as He disciplines them, the wayward ones, at times which are not pleasant but painful, but later yield a harvest. God disciplines those that He loves. He will take away from us the delights from sinning. He will warn us. He will rebuke us. He will ultimately chastise us. But the reason we're here this evening is because we've been kept by the power of God. And His amazing grace that taught my heart to fear, that grace has led me safe thus far. Hallelujah. And grace will lead me home. And a way to respond to that as a Christian is to make your calling, sure, spend time with God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in His word. Spend time with His people who are going to be devoted to the things that the Bible says we're to be devoted to. Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. And go on seeking first the kingdom of God. Live your life to serve the Lord Jesus. The Bible teaches that all who have been truly born of God will be kept, and they will persevere to the end. And there's a great grounds for you this evening if you're a Christian. There are grounds for rejoicing. There are grounds for thankfulness. There are grounds for confidence. They're not grounds for abuse to go and live as you want to live. But none of His people will ever be lost. Once through faith we're united to Christ, once in Him forever. He's the head from which we shall never be severed. You trusted Him to save you, trust Him to keep you, because He will. So why don't you take Him at His word and be confident of this: that God, having begun a good work in you, if you're a Christian here this evening, He will see it through to completion on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.